designating this month. Every Sunday in the month of November, we're going to preach on Thanksgiving. We're going to kick it off today, and every Sunday throughout the whole month, every Sunday morning, we're going to preach on Thanksgiving. So come in every Sunday morning ready to be thankful. We're going to talk more about that. Free to be thankful. Our theme is free indeed this year, and so we want to be reminded, church and Christians, you're free to be thankful, especially this time of year. Miss Adrian, who's your guest again? Awesome. So Miss Adrian's got a cousin here, so Brother Jake's cousin-in-law and aunt-in-law, I guess, if you want to say such a thing, but it's good to have him visiting from Oklahoma. All right. And then we got another Randy in the house, R-A-N-D-I. I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but Caitlin brought a friend, and anytime somebody's got a name that sounds like mine or, you know, is almost spelled like mine, good to have her visiting also this morning. Appreciate them visiting in our services. And then David Pontoon's back. I almost called you Daniel. Please forgive me. I sometimes get you both switched. David's back, and him and Kaylee are going to be more residents, more permanent around here. Praise the Lord. David, of course, served our country, and we forget. Sometimes Sean's been home for several weeks now, and we forget. Praise the Lord, he's home safely. And by the way, when soldiers do their duty, it's our opportunity to do our duty this Tuesday. Vote. Vote, vote, vote. Every born-again Christian American should vote. Can I get an amen right there? All right. Be thankful that we have the freedom to vote. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll kick this message off with this series off with this particular message, one of my favorites. It's necessary. I preached it here once before, but it's been years, and I'm not worried about it because I think if I preached it last week, many of you would not even remember. Because you've had too much candy this week, and how many of you are in a sugar coma? How many of your parents that love watching your kids get the candy? We got a harvest party still this week, so it's going to be rough on our church. You sneak a kid or ask your kid, you know, give your dad and mom a piece of candy. How many like that? Christmas all? Nobody? I do. I'm not embarrassed. All right, verse 18. Verse 18, the Bible says this. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now watch this. This is all a continual thought. There's no period there. God's continuing on the thought. Here's some things you're going to notice about people that are Spirit-filled. All right? Number 9, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of my life verses. Since nobody lets me sing, I speak the words. Amen? Then it says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now look at it. First two words of verse 20. Giving thanks. Watch this, though. It doesn't say giving thanks, period. It says giving thanks, and then it tells you how often to do it. Always. That's a pretty strong word. And it tells you what to be thankful for, all things. And then it tells you to be thankful to, unto God. Boy, you never knew you could see so much doctrine in about 7 or 8 words, huh? Let's read that again. Giving thanks, always, for all things, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's good stuff right there. So let's pray and talk on preach on the subject of being thankful. Father, we love you, and we have been blessed. I love what you say in the book of Psalms. You daily loadeth us with benefits. And Lord, the benefits of heaven are a whole lot better than benefits we get, work packages, work benefits. And we're just so blessed that you have blessed and blessed and blessed us. Help us to be thankful today. Revive our hearts of thanksgiving in this particular month and then forever until you come and call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Maybe see you. All right. I'm going to brag on her real quick. She's had quite a few surgeries the last few years, and every time I visit her in the hospital, she lives that song out. I make a lot of hospital visits. When you go to her room, especially when her daughters are in the room, Carlene, Sandy, and all the other ones, you know, they're an honorary bunch of ladies. It gets dangerous. And she's always got such a good attitude. I appreciate that special. You always trust the potter's hand. Amen. Good singing there. All right, Ephesians. Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians. We'll be in Ephesians for this whole journey. So fasten your seatbelts and let's get going into this message. I think it's very necessary to preach on the subject of being thankful. We are seeing a generation arise just based on media reports and just by going out in public in a Walmart or a store nowadays and watching a child not get the cereal of their choice. And we see we got serious problems with America today, the lack of being thankful and appreciating what you do have. I think one of the best things we could do for our fellow citizens when they have an issue of thankfulness is to ship them to a third world country for a month. They will come back and beg and plead to never leave America again. In fact, we have an ongoing joke at my house when my kids and my wife even think I'm hinting at maybe complaining. All I have to do is stop and say to myself, Philippines. And I just remember what I saw in the Philippines, and immediately Mr. Grumpy leaves my mind right away. Because by nature we want to complain. I have a beautiful 7-month-old niece. She's a doll. And it's been neat having a little baby around the family again because it's been 6 years since we've had a baby. So in other words, we actually sleep at night, which is such a blessing. Except last night we had a demon-possessed dog that kept us all awake all night long. But anyway, my 7-month-old niece learns how to complain from the time they're born. Can I get an amen? All she has to do is just let out a loud scream in the middle of the night or anytime she wants to, and she gets everybody's attention. All we do is change the way we scream when we're 39, but it's still the same motive. Can I get an amen right there? By nature, we are going to want to complain if something does not go our way. By nature, we are going to want to expect something. And by the way, we are living in a country that is full of expectancy. We think we're entitled. We think the government owes us things. We think the church owes us things. We think we've actually gotten away from a famous quote mentioned by a famous president. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We've gotten away from Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We've gotten to a mode of thought processes where we actually feel like somebody owes us something. And let me just make it clear from the very onset of this message that we all do deserve one thing in life. It's very simple. We deserve to go to a place called hell. And since I'm not going to this place called hell based upon my merits and my works and my sins and my wickedness, I can say thank you, Jesus, today, because He saved me from that final destination. He altered my destination. My plane is taking a detour, hallelujah, just over in the glory lands where my plane's going to land one day, hopefully later than sooner. Praise God. But anyway, God is good and He's given us much to be thankful about. Our country was built on a statement made by a man named Sir Patrick Henry who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." The 70s introduced a concept by the hippie movement called Give Me Liberty. Today, we say, give me. We have forgotten to be thankful to our military. We've forgotten to be thankful to something as simple as the cashier that checks us out at the local store. We've forgotten to be thankful to the person who is our neighbor who might have done a good deed for us. So we've just gotten away from those things. And we've just lost the old school America of being a good neighbor, being thankful. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. And one of the keys, I believe, is the subject of thanksgiving. You understand that when God has a checklist, and by the way, God's allowed to have checklists, not us, but God has a checklist of a spirit-filled person. He says it's someone that sings, someone that speaks the words. That means they meditate about the words. And one of the things that's on the list of a spirit-filled Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, is simply this. Someone who is thankful always. Being thankful, being thankful, being thankful. Now, this message is not for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. It's not for just you. All of us need this message. All of us need this reminder. I'll give you some personal illustrations and experiences. Several years ago, my wife and me and my oldest girl went to a public place, a restaurant, and we saw a man with a hat on that had a World War II. He had a World War II hat on, so we thanked him for his service to our country. My wife thanked him, and my daughter at the time was young, 2 or 3 years old, and she said thank you as best as she knew how. And he and his wife began to weep. And crying. They said, by the way, he was a World War II combat vet, he was a Korean War vet, and a Vietnam vet. And he said, "You're the first person that has ever thanked me since I've come home." And in fact, it was on that night, in that restaurant, I made a decision that if I ever see someone in public for in their inner uniform, I will thank them for their service to our country. And I don't think you can go wrong for that. And I think it's good for our children to hear that. It's something I don't do because I'm spiritual. It's something I do because I'm not that spiritual. I have to discipline myself to do that. I have made it a fun game now. I've told you this illustration before, but it's good for everybody to hear again. My wife and I sometimes through the years on date nights, and we'll ask the waitress to go get the manager and have him come to the table. And you know, when you ask for the manager at the restaurant, there's always a terrible look on the manager's face as he approaches the table. Why? Because he's so used to somebody complaining about the meat not just being done right or something. And he walks over there almost like he's on eggshells, and he came to the table, and I just said, "Sir, I want to thank you so much for hiring this waitress. She's been awesome. She's taken good care of us. She's kept our glass full. She's just awesome. And we're going to reward her, too, for giving her a little tip more than 3%. And I just want to say thank you for hiring this lady." And never fails the man's face. Whoa. They're shocked because they're used to what? A complaint. Complaint. I've been pastoring for 16 years, and I've heard lots and lots of complaints. It's been a blessing. I found a really good place to put complaints. You don't want to know. If you want to know, I'll tell you after church. But anyway, here we go. So through the years, I've realized that, boy, we need a revival of some simple things. We want these big answers to these hard questions, but it's just preaching on the rapture like we did last Sunday. It's preaching salvation. It's preaching on holiness. And it's preaching on a simple biblical concept. And by the way, this is one of the most consistent doctrines from Genesis to Revelation. It's a doctrine called looking up to heaven or looking at somebody else who's been a blessing to you and just saying two simple, two-syllable words to put together, thank you. And we need a revival. And I'll never forget, we stayed in a hotel one time when we traveled, and I came down to the front desk, and I asked the person behind the counter, I said, "Where's your manager? I'd like to speak to them." And by the way, it's fun when you act mad first. Could I speak to your manager? Is there a problem? No, can I speak to your manager? And hotels, I love hotels. The manager's always there. It's right behind the wall. He hears every conversation. You understand what I'm saying? So immediately the manager sticks his head around the corner and comes around the corner. I said, hey, I want to thank you. The sheets were nice. The bedroom was nice. Everything was great. Brag on the hotel. I got a letter from that manager several weeks later when I got back to our church. I gave her a track, by the way. And the manager wrote me a letter and said, I've been managing this hotel for 9 years, and that's the first time I've ever been thanked. Now, I exercise this principle, and I keep getting these results, and I think, my soul, I've been guilty of not being thankful enough, and many of us have. We have lost this simple subject of just saying thank you. And many times we teach our children to say thank you, and then we forget ourselves to be thankful. And the proof is in the pudding. The devil's a master, a deceptive artist. He likes to come to us and try to get us to, a lot of times if he can attack a doctrine head on, he'll try to get us distracted from it. And so now Thanksgiving is followed by thankful for our governor who now made Black Friday a state holiday. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is, Brother George. Just last week he announced that Black Friday is now a state holiday. So state employees, is it off this year or does it start next year? Starts this year, state employees. All right. I'm not against Black Friday, but here's the deal. Black Friday has now become more talked about than Thanksgiving. And I read a quote that said, only in America do people sit around a dead turkey one day, thankful for the things they have, and then rush into madness to buy more things for people they don't like to impress them. And I know that's not the reason many of you go Black Friday. I think it's a good steward of the Lord's money and all that. But I am simply saying this. It has shifted our focus from one of the most beautiful holidays in America. We're living in a society now where Halloween gets a whole lot more attention than Thanksgiving does. I mean, we're living in a generation where people will spend more energy and more time and more effort for this. And by the way, it's not a holy day. The holiday they call it of Halloween, but not Thanksgiving. And we need to get back to an old-fashioned revival of being thankful. Of just looking to somebody who's been a blessing to us and looking to God and saying, hey, thank you for being good to us. Let me give you four quick things and I'll be done. Number one, you need to start first of all, and I need to start first of all with being thankful that we're saved. Oh, preacher, you preach this all the time. Yep, and I'm going to keep on preaching until everybody smiles in church one time. I've been 16 and a half years here, and I'm still waiting for the one Sunday. In fact, had the ambulance on the property, because I will fall over and faint, need mouth-to-mouth. Only she's allowed to give me mouth-to-mouth. Can I get him in right there? Keep Ben Carlisle away. Keep any of the Mitchell brothers away. My wife can give me mouth-to-mouth. I'll fall over faint if I actually see the whole church smiling in one statement. Here goes, thank God we're saved. I said, thank God we're saved. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm never going to touch hell, and I've been saved by the grace of God. And its doctrine is taught in Ephesians chapter 2 in this beautiful book. It's tucked away once again in verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now watch this. In case you think baptism saves you, in case you think church membership saves you, in case you think being a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist or Lutheran saves you, here's what God says saves you in verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God I'm saved today. We are living in a generation where people don't appreciate that old-fashioned statement that I've been saved by the grace of God. Do you understand that God went out of his way to reach you? God went out of his way to reach me. He sent his son to die on the cross. He shed his blood. He loved us to Calvary. He takes us to the wheel, as we just heard sung about. He makes sure. He, by the way, look back on your salvation personally right now and think about the circumstances and think about the details that God allowed to happen. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was something good. Maybe it was something negative. Maybe it was something positive. But God was steering you towards salvation because he loved you. He was guiding you to Calvary. And aren't you glad for the day when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and now you know you're going to heaven someday? That'll make some Baptists smile every once in a while. People have lost their shout for salvation. Here's what I believe. I believe a lot of times it's not necessarily that we've lost, we've just replaced it with other things we get more happy about. We're more thankful for our job, and I'm thankful for a job. We all should be. We're more thankful for because our ball team won this weekend. We're more thankful for it, fill in the blank, than the simple fact that the God, the creator of this universe, the creator of this universe, paid attention to you and paid attention to me. Excuse me. Paid attention to us. Can I get an amen right there? Yesterday, my son and I were out door knocking, and family out door knocking a little bit, meeting some folk, and met a well-known celebrity in this town. Somebody on TV, a well-known personality. If I name his name, most of you, everybody in this room would know who he is. He was very kind to me, my son, and once I recognized who he was, we had a conversation. Of course, he'd been to our church a few times through the years, and he's done stories about our church, and he and I had known each other for several years now. We walked away from the door, and my son was like, "Daddy, that was so cool. I met a man that's on TV." I said, "Son, you're going soul winning with a man that's on TV." That didn't impress him. He's just a local guy. I'm national, man. Come on, son. Didn't impress my son too much. Humble, humility, amen. I got family. My family's so good at keeping me humble. Not my wife, but I've got four precious children that are so good at keeping me humble. But he thought it was so neat. Told Mama, "Daddy, Mommy, we met so-and-so." And it was a neat time, neat opportunity for him. He got excited about that. And I got to thinking about how, wow, we meet these celebrities sometimes or meet somebody that's special. Or wow, so I got to shake so-and-so's hand. My daughter asked me a while back. She goes, "Daddy, why don't you get so excited about meeting people like that sometimes?" I said, "Because I spoke to the creator of this universe this morning. And when you talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and know what he's done for you, nobody impresses you when you've walked with God." Boy, I'm telling you what, God saved my soul and God saved your soul. By the way, if you're not saved today, you've come to the right place. Because we ain't going to tell you no Baptist way, we ain't going to tell you no Catholic way, we ain't going to tell you no Lutheran way, we ain't going to tell you no whatever way. We're going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven because he said it. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me." Jesus said he can save you, and Jesus will take you out of your sin and out of your bondage and change your direction from hell to heaven. Jesus, the Savior, he loves you. He cares about you. He'll do what it takes. I get to preach a funeral today for a lady that was saved at one time. She's in heaven right now. She has no more cancer. She has no more sickness. She has no more body pain. She's walking on streets of gold. She's worshiping Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. Josh Miller, he's alive and well 3 years later after he was taken in a tragic accident. And you know why he's alive and well? Because he got saved. He had a story of salvation. And now we're going to see a glad reunion someday with Mom and Daddy and two sisters because of that doctrine of salvation. I'm so glad I know Jesus. I'm so glad I've been saved. I'm so glad I'm never going to touch hell. I'm so glad I'm going to heaven someday. I thank God. I thank God I've been saved. It's good to be. Boy, that's where the car was. Man, still sticking the car wheel, praise God. Hey, it's good to be saved. I said it's good to be saved. Amen. I'm going to retire the car wheel when I turn 40 next year. All right, number one, thank God for salvation. Number two, thank God for his servants. Thank God for his servants. And I want you to look at this in Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Of course, you can find on a regular basis, God bragging on the servants of God. Look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." I'm glad for the servants of God. I'm glad for missionaries. I'm glad for preachers. But let me break it down to folk in this building right now under the sound of his voice. And many of you that will listen to it online next week, like my buddy, Brother Casey. He said he'd buy me pizza if I named his name on the podcast. Brother Casey, you owe me pizza. All right. Brother Casey, all right. People like that I know from a church in Chicago that serve the Lord. Somebody's watching little children in nursery today so we can be sitting in church. Somebody's dealing with all our little kids over there who are in sugar coma this weekend. I mean, they're in sugar zone. My wife, I walked by and said, "How was Sunday school today?" She's like, I mean, my wife was popping pills after Sunday school day. I mean, it's crazy. The kids are fired up. They're full of sugar after this crazy weekend. And you know how it is to come Christmas. I love candy line on Sunday night. Sometimes if you kind of rub me wrong, I'm just going to give your kid like six pieces of candy, get them fired up so you have to deal with them all night when you get home. Can I get an amen right there? I'm simply saying, hey, there's people right now that are teaching those kids. There's people that will teach them on Wednesday night. There's people right now that by the week in and week out when nobody's around clean this building. And I can start naming names. And they were here this other day. They clean this building. They make sure the pews are clean. They change the garbage bags. There's people that run the bus route. They get here on a Sunday morning and fire up that bus so it's warm, and they go and pick up 31 riders this morning and brought them to church so these little children could hear about Jesus even though they're hopped up on sugar. I mean, hey, I could go on and on. There's people that right now make it so that my voice doesn't have to strain so hard because I have a PA system, and there's people that came and practiced and sang in the choir. There's people that decorate for different things and different events. I could go on and on. Sunday school teachers, some of you sat in a class and somebody studied this week and labored. They were serving you, trying to be a blessing to you. We got the Christmas program coming up, and we're going to sit back and enjoy that program. But
somebody is working week in and week out with these young people and getting them ready for that Christmas program and the teen choir and the kids choir, all the different events and activities. And somebody's got to keep the sidewalks clean when the snow falls. And different people that serve God, so many times look and say, he's the pastor, he's this, he's that. God doesn't look at it that way. God says, when you serve me, cha-ching, I keep track of that. There is no hierarchy in the real biblical church. God doesn't like the doctrine of Nicolaitans conquering the laity. I'm a human being just like everybody else. I need deodorant. And I love a steak. I'm really wanting a steak right now. That's an inside joke with me and my family. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying thank God for servants. Hey, thankful for our military, for our country. I'm talking about spiritual servants. When was the last time you wrote a letter to your Sunday school teacher and said, hey, thanks for teaching me the Bible every week? It doesn't take much. Just a little text, just a little note. I got several text messages last week from people in the church that really meant a lot to me, and they were timely, too. I love when people do little things. By the way, a text message is pretty much free. Just saying, thank you. Thank you. We're so good at just immediately attacking the negative. The beautiful whiteboard, someone puts a black dot, we walk in, what's that black dot there? That's how we are. By nature, be thankful. And I got to work on this. Number three, I'm thankful that we get to stand for the Lord. Number one, I'm thankful for salvation. Number two, I'm thankful for the servants. Number three, I'm thankful that we get to stand. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Here's what the Bible says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, reminder, our enemy is not people, it's the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let me just shift the whole focus on standing for Jesus, because I've been preaching this all summer, and even into the fall to teenagers. For some reason, there's almost this negative kumbaya, sad feeling for taking a stand for Jesus. Like we're going to suffer because we have to stand for Jesus. Let me just remind you that it is a privilege to stand for Jesus. He hung on a cross for us, so I should willingly stand for him. He came forth out of a tomb, so I should easily want to stand for him. We're living in a generation now where sometimes people are like, oh boy, the persecution is getting too great. Listen, church, we live in America. The persecution, we don't even know what real persecution is. We don't. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Syria and China and Iran and many other parts of this world, they know what persecution is all about. We are very blessed in America. But because of that spiritual mentality and because Christians are starting to tuck their tail, evil has risen and evil has taken over the large microphones and evil and wickedness is beginning to intimidate the Christians. But may I say to you today, the truth still apologizes to no man. The truth is still the truth. We're still to hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin. But we're still to stand for the truth, and it's a privilege to stand. It's still a privilege to stand up today and say, hey, we're all sinners, and yes, we are. We've all broken God's law. That's the truth, and I'll stand on that. But thank God I'll stand on this too, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross and shed his blood for you and me, and 3 days later up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes, and he can save you and he can save me, and if he can save me, he can save anybody. Praise God. I'm simply saying today, it's a privilege to stand for Jesus. Stand for Jesus. Be different. I worry about this world sometimes. Christians in this world, we're so afraid of identifying as a Christian. It's time to say, it's okay, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. Yes, I believe in the old-time religion. I believe in old-fashioned values. My daddy raised him, but the Bible confirmed him. Can I get an amen right there? I'm simply saying it's okay to stand for Jesus. And I want to teach our young people today. It's okay to stand for purity. It's okay to stand for honoring your mother and father. It's okay to stand for that which is right and stand against that which is wrong. It's okay to still say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. It's still okay to have the old-time values that made this country great. Stand up for Jesus, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Stand. It's a privilege to stand. I'm thankful I can stand. I'm thankful I can stand. Somebody asked me several weeks ago, is it tough being a pastor? I said, not as tough as Jesus hanging on the cross. I think I'm doing pretty good. That's become one of my standard answers. God said, I'll say it again. Thank you, Miss Miranda. Is it tough being a pastor? No, not as tough as Jesus hanging on the cross. Thank you, Miss Miranda. Amen. Anybody need me to say it again? Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus said, I feel good. I'm talking about I feel good. I haven't even had any sugar either. I'm in a sugar coma. Amen. And I don't need no coffee either. I'm standing against coffee still, praise God. Number one, thanks for salvation. Number two, thanks for service. Number three, thanks for the standing. Number four, and I'm done with this one. Let's be thankful for saints. Saints. Go look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 with me, and we're done. Just got a few more minutes. We'll be done right on time. Listen very carefully here. Mrs. Kuntz reminds us of this regularly. Don Kuntz does too, about the beautiful part of being a part of a church family. The faith, the family, the friends. And listen, I love Catholic people. I do. I think Catholic folk are great people. And my dad was a Catholic all his life. And I love Catholic folk. But I always like to have fun with them because they're really big on saints. And I love when I get close enough and tease them, I say, I'm a saint too. No, how dare you say that? I said, I am a saint. I am a saint. So if you got a halo, it's supported by horns. Fine. Say it's supported by horns, but I'm still a saint. Can I get an amen right there? Biblically, doctrinally, the Bible says if you've been saved, you're a saint. You are a saint. So I want to take that servants one step further and just realize how blessed you are to be a part of the family of God. The family of God. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints. To the who? Saints. To the who? Which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul says, hey, I'm writing this to the saints. Listen, let me ask you a simple question today. Imagine life for a second without the family of God. By the way, I'm thankful for my blood family. Boy, I could park a while on that. Thank God for my wife, my children, my parents, my brother, my sister. Most of the time, my brother. Most of the time. Oh, he's not here, so it's not as funny. You guys don't laugh as much unless he's here, right? Because then you watch him misinterpret it, and everybody laughs, and y'all act like you don't know sign language, but I know how it goes. But boy, Paul said, but the family of God, the family of God. When I came to church this morning, I came knowing I'm going to see some brothers and sisters. Now, my wife and I have four children, and they could all four go to the doctor's office today and donate their blood or give blood, and they'd be able to match up and say, yep, your mom and daddy are those two people right there. And Brother Nick and myself and my sister Jennifer, we can all verify that we all have blood that comes from our parents. But when I look in this building today, the blood is almost even more beautiful than family blood. We're all bound by the blood. We're all glued together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me just say this, because every once in a while I get accused of just being only Baptist. Hey, listen, there's a lot of folk going to be in heaven that ain't Baptist. They're saints. They were born through the same blood of Jesus Christ that we were born through. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to destroy any sin, to break away any chains. And when I look around this room, I look and I thank God for the saints of God. And can I testify real quickly tonight? Boy, let me give you some encouraging words this morning. I've been here, there, all over this country. I've been to camps and conferences. I've been up north with the Yankees, and they sing different than the way they do down south. I've been all over this country, and I thank you that. And I can testify, too. I've been to the Philippines where they speak different languages and different dialects and definitely eat different food. And I've been to Ecuador, and I've seen the different cultures and all that. But it's amazing how I can get in these foreign countries, and 2 days later, there's automatically a bond. Why? We all serve the same Heavenly Father, and they've been saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ. Our skin color might be different. Our personalities might be different. Our heights and our widths might be different. And our sizes might be different. And our hair color and our eye color might be different. And some might have beautiful teeth. And some might have crooked teeth. And some might have awesome hair. And some might not have any hair. But the simple fact is this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're my brother. You're my sister. And I'm your brother too. And I thank God for the family of God. Isn't it a blessing we can get together and pray over circumstances? We prayed for years for Nicole Carlisle. She's walking into church real good right now. Thank God for the family of God. We prayed for a miracle. And Marissa Mitchell's got a baby back there right next to her. I'm simply saying, church, where would you be without the family of God? Thank God for the saints of God. Heaven's going to be real sweet. We're going to see people that have gone before us. We're going to see family members. We're going to see brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to see preachers that might have influenced our lives. We're going to be able to look and say, that person got saved the same way by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the family of God today. And Paul was good about reminding to be thankful for the saints. Church, we live in a very unique day and age. It's a very divided country in many different ways. Not just geographically, but philosophically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. I mean, fill in the blank. Oh, we're just a divided country. I'm so thankful, though, that there's a group of people that I can always relate to. I can look out and say, he's my brother and she's my sister. By the way, let me just help you. You might as well not fuss with each other, because I haven't found a verse in the Bible yet, but I do believe God. If you fuss with your brothers and sisters in Christ, God's going to put your mansion right next door to theirs in heaven someday. You better get along with everybody, because we're all going to the same place together. Christians are famous for fussing and fighting each other. Let's stop and be thankful that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a family here. And by the way, if you've never been saved, come on and join this family. Be a part of the family of God. It's the most amazing family in this world. It's a forever family. I can't believe how many times I've heard teenagers say this. If I had a dollar for every time a teenager said this to me, as I travel and say, hey, preacher, Brother Andy, I don't have a family at home. My church is my family. Well, many times I think, where would that child be or that teenager be if he didn't have that church? Boy, that's a special brotherhood and sisterhood. The saints, the family of God, the same Heavenly Father, saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, we're blessed. We're blessed. We need a revival of being thankful. It's the simple things. Thank God you're saved. Thank God for the servants. And they're peppered all over this building. They're serving right now in other ministries. They'll be serving in prisons tonight and prisons last Friday. They'll be serving all week in different ministries of this church. Hey, thank God we get to stand. We get to stand for Him. It's not a have to. I get to stand for Jesus. And finally, number four, I'm thankful for the saints, the family of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Myself once more, my faults and frailties bring me here just like before, with strong and loving hands. The pressure is applied. Oft times I tremble as He puts me through the fire. I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. He has a perfect plan these human eyes can't see. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He knows just how much I can take when I face the fire again. I'll trust the potter's hands. His hands work deep inside, and He makes no mistake. Though it seems I'm crumbled down, I can hardly stand the pain. But into His own design, He is molding me, I know. Though my world spins all around, the potter's in control. I'll trust the potter's hands. He knows what's best for me. He has a perfect plan. These human eyes can't see. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He knows just how much I can take. When I face the fire again, I'll trust the potter's hand. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He knows just how much I can take. When I face the fire again, I'll trust the potter's hand. When I face the fire again, I'll trust the potter's hand.